गोपी जन वल्लभा गिरिवर्धारे गोपी जन वल्लभा गिरिवर्धारे यशोदनन्दन व्रज जनरञ्जन यशोदनन्दन व्रज जनरञ्जन जमुन क्षीरावनचारि Jamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabihari Gopi jana vala bhagya varnari Gopi jana vala bhagya varnari Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Jamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Rukmini Dwarkadish Rukmini Dwarkadish Rukmini Dwarkadish Rukmini Dwarkadish Jaya Jagannath, Jaya Jagannath, Jaya Baladeva, Jaya Subhadra, Jaya Goranitai, 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 Jaya Goranitai Jaya Jaya Prabhupada 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 Jaya Prabhupada Jaya Jaya Prabhupada 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 Srila Prabhupada Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bol All glories to the assembly of devotees All glories to the assembly of devotees all glories to Sri Sri Guru and go all the glories to the Prabhupada Narayanam namaskritya Naram chaiva narottamam Devim sarasvatim vyasam Yato jayam adhirayat. Before reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is our very means of conquest, let us offer respectful obeisances unto the personality of God, Lord Narayan, unto Narayan Rishi, the supermost human being, unto Mother Sarasvati, the goddess of learning, unto Srila Vyasadeva, the author, and unto Srila Prabhupada, the translator, commentator, and our spiritual master. Nashta prayeshu abhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavati uttama shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtaki. By regularly attending the Srimad Bhagavatam class and by rendering service unto the pure devotee, all that is troublesome to the heart is almost completely destroyed, and loving devotional service unto the personality of God at whose worship with transcendental songs becomes established is an irrevocable fact. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we're continuing our reading of the third canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. We're in chapter 11, calculation of time from the atom. And today we'll do 39 and 40. 39 has no purport, so I'll read the verse and translation, then we'll do 40 responsibly. Kalo yong paraman vadir dwi parardhanta ishparaha naivishitong papur bhumna ishparo dhamamaninam. Srila Prabhupada's translation. Eternal time is certainly the controller of different dimensions, from that of the atom up to the superdivisions of the duration of Brahma's life, but nevertheless, it is controlled by the Supreme. Time can control only those who are body conscious, even up to the Satyaloka or the other higher planets of the universe. And then 40, we'll do responsibly. Vikarai Sahito Yuktair Visheshadibhir Avritaha Andakosha Bahir Ayam Panchashat. Sorry, that should be Panchashat Koti Vistritaha Vikarak Sahito Yuktair Vishesha Dipir Avritaha Andakosho Bahir Ayam Panchashat Koti Vistritaha Vikarak Sahito Yuktair Visheshadibir Avritaha Andakosho Bahir Ayam Panchashat Koti Vistritaha Vikarayik Sahito Yuktair Visheshadibir Avritaha Andakosho Bahir Ayam Panchashat Koti Vistritaha. Please chant.
Thank you. Shadi Vir Abritaha. And the Kosho Bahirayam. Pancha Shat Koti Vistritaha. Vaishnavis. Vikarai Sahito Yuktair. Visheshadi Bir Abritaha. And the Kosho Bahirayam. Pancha Shat Koti Vistritaha. Vikarai Sahito Yuktair. Visheshadi Bir Abritaha. And the Kosho Bahirayam. Pancha Shat Koti Vistritaha.
Synonyms. Vikarai. By the transformation of the elements. Sahitaha. Along with. Yuktai. Being so amalgamated. Vishesha. Manifestations. Adibihi. By them. Avritaha. Covered. Andakoshaha. The universe. Bahihi. Outside. Ayam. This. Panchashat. 50. Koti. 10 million. Visritaha. Widespread. Srila Prabhupada's translation for this verse. This phenomenal material world is expanded to a diameter of 4 billion miles as a combination of 8 material elements transformed into 16 further categories within and without as follows. Please repeat. This phenomenal material world is expanded to a diameter of 4 billion miles. As a combination of 8 material elements transformed into 16 further categories within and without as follows. Srila Prabhupada's purport. As explained before, the entire material world is a display of 16 diversities and 8 material elements. The analytical studies of the material world are the subject matter of Sankhya philosophy. The first 16 diversities are the 11 senses and 5 sense objects, and the 8 elements are the gross and subtle matter, namely earth, water, fire, air, sky, mind, intelligence, and ego. All these combined together are distributed throughout the entire universe, which extends diametrically to 4 billion miles. Besides this universe of our experience, there are innumerable other universes. Some of them are bigger than the present one, and all of them are clustered together under similar material elements as described below. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swamini Tanamini Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pacharine Nirvishesha Shunivani Pashyachadishtarine Om Agyana Timarandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Vishnang Shtapitang Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeyahang Sri Guru Sri Yutapadakamalam Sri Guru and Vaishnavangscha Sri Rupam Sagajatam Sahagada Raghunathan Vatam Tang Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parjana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shiva Shakan Vatangscha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namosute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindabaneshri Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kopatu Vyasha Kripa Sindhu Vyayavacha Patitanang Pavanebhyo Vaishabhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityanan Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasari Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So before I begin, somebody may think, or some of you may think,
Didn't Arjun just give class on Friday? Why is he giving class again on Tuesday? Actually, I wasn't even supposed to give class on Friday. I had actually scheduled myself to speak on Saturday, but Subhas was supposed to speak on Friday, but he got sucked into some conference calls. Jokingly, we say sometimes that we're not an institution of eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. We're an institution of eating, sleeping, meeting, and defending. So he's frequently drawn into meetings internationally, so he has to be on the phone at odd hours of the day. Anyway, so I covered for him on Friday, and I gave my Saturday away. And I had scheduled Ananda Kirtan Prabhu to speak today, but some or other, we didn't wind up on the same page, so I had to jump in. The reason why I'm saying all this is because I've been doing this service of scheduling classes for a long time, and everywhere I go, practically in ISKCON, I've always taken that service of scheduling classes. Somebody has to do it. It's a very, very important service. You don't want to come in the morning and everybody looks around and goes, who's giving class today? So you have to stay after devotees. You have to make sure they know the verse that's coming up. You have to. It's a very important service. My point is that obviously I'm not going to be able to do this forever. So somebody has to already be thinking that they're going to take over this service and do it properly so that the continuity is there. Because eternal time we're hearing about, time is eternal, we are eternal, but these bodies are not. And just like we went to the Martin Luther King parade yesterday, Martin Luther King was still a fairly young man, got up one day, just like any other day, although there had been some forewarning that something may happen, but still he didn't take it so seriously. But he went out that day and didn't come home. Somebody shot him. So whether it's by assassination or by illness or whatever, we're all going to go. So we'll talk about that a little more. I just wanted to go back to the first verse. There are two main points there. That the eternal time is certainly the controller of different dimensions, but the Supreme Lord is the controller of time. And it says, that last sentence is very interesting. Time can control only those who are body conscious. So does that mean that those who are not body conscious, in other words, those who are self-realized that time doesn't have any effect on their bodies? No, but they're not affected by the effect that time has on their body. That's the point. That's the point. We see that the great souls, including our Srila Prabhupada, you know, he took birth in 1896, baby's body just like everybody else, and a body gradually transformed into a youth, into a grown man, to an old man, like that. So the time effect is there on the bodies, even of those who are self-realized, even of those who are pure devotees. But they're not affected by that effect of time on their bodies. Whereas those who are not, those who are body conscious, thinking that the bodies themselves, they are affected by everything that happens to the body. Everything that happens to the body. There was a story I heard. One ISKCON lecturer told a story. I forgot to ask him where he got it from, but it's just illustrative that there was a great yogi in India. He was had taken up the Nagababa habit, you know, walking around naked from place to place. So he wandered through the palace of one Muslim king and actually went into his harem where he had his wives. And the guy goes, how is this? He got so mad, he took up his sword and he cut the arm off of this yogi. And the yogi just kept walking. So he realized, oh my God, I've made such a mistake. I've offended a... So he said, please forgive me. So the yogi just picked up the arm and reattached it and just kept walking. So yeah, you can get to the point of being so body unconscious that you're not at all externally affected by anything. Now, the pure devotees may not necessarily exhibit such a degree of body unconsciousness. Like Prabhupada said at the Kumbh Mela, he went with the devotees, you know, they had made no arrangements because it was cold. It's, you know, early in the year, like that, it was cold. And Prabhupada said, yeah, I'm an old man, you have to make arrangements for heat and, you know, for proper cooking and stuff like that. So not that Prabhupada, you know, obviously was dependent on that, but he wanted to make the point that you have to take care of your spiritual master as if the spiritual master needs these things. Not that we think, oh, well, he's a pure devotee, you know, he can go a whole day without eating, no big deal. No, not like that. It's an opportunity to serve the spiritual master personally. It's an opportunity to be trained how to serve Krishna. As Prabhupada said many times, Krishna doesn't need your chapati and your puri and your sabji, but it's an opportunity to render service to please the Lord. And by pleasing the Lord's devotee in a similar way, you please the Lord himself. So there are some points today that require clarification because they seem to contradict similar points we've learned elsewhere. So the first thing is, the phenomenal material world is expanded to a diameter of 4 billion miles. So in the verse, how do we get to 4 billion miles? It's not mentioned directly in the verse. What the verse says is, panchashat, which means 50, and koti, which means 10 million. So if you multiply 50 by 10 million, what do you get? 500 million. So how does it jump to 4 billion? Because those 500 million are not miles. They're not miles. It doesn't say in the verse 500 million miles. 500 million yojanas. Somebody's awake here. So yojana is generally accepted to be 8 miles. So if you multiply 500 million by 8, you get 4 billion. So that's where the 4 billion comes from. Now, that definitely does not agree with modern outlook. It's a little bit controversial. In some measurements, interstellar measurements, the Vedic presentation seems to agree with the modern measurement, like the distance to the moon, to the sun, calculated almost about exactly the same. But here we're talking about the diameter of the entire universe as being 4 billion. They would not agree with that. By their calculation, it's way, 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 way beyond that. But how did they measure things in the first place? Just like in my last class, I mentioned the James Webb Space Telescope, which is commonly referred to by the acronym JWST. So using the JWST, they claim they're seeing galaxies just after the Big Bang. They came into existence just after the Big Bang. How do they measure these things? How do they measure? It's all about light shift. The light that they're measuring in different spectra and the shift from one color to another gives them some indication of how far away things are. Should we naturally accept that as being a fact or not? So Prabhupada and the Vedic literature, as Prabhupada said in a previous purport here, said that sometimes there's discussion about some of these points, but we simply accept what's in the scripture. Boss, that's it. In other words, we don't have to try to get to the point where we can individually explain to some scientific group why it's 4 billion and not what they think. It doesn't matter. Ultimately, it doesn't matter. We accept what it says in the scripture, and if we can prove or not prove to them, that's okay. Because we're taking Vedic Praman, Shruti Praman, as our topmost evidence, not JWST or what some guy says. And like I said also, it's not that one scientist says something and they all agree immediately. No, you have to go through peer review. But what is that peer review? Persons who are trained exactly the way you were, and they went to the same universities, and because a gang of them say, yes, we accept what you've discovered, that doesn't make it factual. An example I've used many times, and some of you may not believe it, but I looked it up, and it's a fact. When I was in school, as a boy, they taught us that there can be no life at the bottom, deepest parts of the ocean. The pressure's too great, there's no light, temperatures, you know, like that. It's not possible. They didn't change that viewpoint until the mid-60s. I looked it up just to make sure I'm not just talking off the top of my head. In the mid-60s, when they were finally able to send some submersible down there, and they actually saw that there was life down there, that's when they changed their presentation. Now, if as a child, if I had told them, you're wrong, they would have said, you're an idiot, get out of here. You see? If I had heard from the Vedic literatures, and I actually started reading the Vedic literatures when I was a child, because I was very curious. Started reading different scriptures from all over the world and whatnot. So if I had gone to school and told my science teacher, no, you're wrong. According to the Vedas, there's life everywhere. They would have kicked me out. But they themselves changed their presentation in the mid-60s. They said, lo and behold, there's actually life at the bottom of the ocean. There's actually life down there. So the point I'm making is that we have all been mistrained by this modern so-called scientific presentation. So when we come across certain things in the Vedic literatures, we may... Or like when Prabhupada told the devotees, I don't think they went to the moon, it's all a hoax. Some devotees were so bent out of shape by that, because again, everybody was jumping up and down, hey, look, America landed on the moon. But lo and behold, just yesterday I saw an article where they're saying, if we actually went to the moon, why can't we go again? Why haven't we gone again? So people, even the average person, is questioning whether it's true or not. So we don't have to go through all that. We just have to accept what's mentioned in the Vedas. If you can explain it to somebody, if you're so scientifically advanced, like our Jyotir Karma Prabhu, fine. If you're not, don't worry about it. Just accept it and go on. Because it's not the ultimate point. The ultimate point of the Bhagavatam is not that our particular universe is 4 billion miles in diameter. The ultimate point is from the previous verse. You're under the control of time, and Krishna controls time. That's what you should accept. Nobody can, that's incontrovertible. You can't change that. So the other thing that requires a little explanation in this purport, Prabhupada is talking about Sankhya, and he says the first 16 diversities are the 11 senses and 5 sense objects. Now normally when you hear 11 senses, you accept 5 knowledge acquiring senses, 5 working senses, and above them the mind. It's considered to be the 11th sense. But he then further says that the 8 elements are the gross and subtle matter, namely earth, water, fire, sky, mind, intelligence, and ego. So he mentions mind again. So mind has been already counted in the 11, and now it's being counted again, so it doesn't seem to match. So in the Bhagavad Gita, in the 13th chapter, verses 6 and 7, give a little clearer explanation of that. Read. So Krishna says to Arjuna, the 5 great elements, false ego, intelligence, the unmanifested, the 10 senses and the mind, the 5 sense objects, desire, hatred, happiness, distress, the aggregate, the life symptoms and convictions, all these are considered in summary to be the field of activities and its interactions. So then Prabhupada explains, first there are earth, water, fire, air and ether. Those are the 5 Mahabhuta, or sometimes called Panchabhuta. Then there are false ego, intelligence, and the unmanifested stage of the 3 modes of nature. Then there are 5 senses for acquiring knowledge, the eyes, ears, nose, tongue, and skin. Then 5 working senses, voice, legs, hands, anus, and genitals. Then above the senses, there is the mind, which is within, and which can be called the sense within. Therefore, including the mind, there are 11 senses altogether. So the mind is usually included as the 11th sense. Then there are the 5 objects of the senses, smell, taste, form, touch, and sound. Now the aggregate of these 24 elements is called the field of activity. So in this particular presentation, mind is counted separately from the other subtle entities of namely intelligence and ego. So again, we go by this explanation from the Bhagavad Gita. Why it's presented differently in today's purport? There are many reasons why it could be. Again, we know that Prabhupada spoke his purports and they were recorded. Back then it was reel-to-reel tape, and that reel-to-reel tape was sent to somebody who put in a different tape player, put on a headset, listened to it, and transcribed. But quite a few mistakes were made. Some of them are caught. Later on, I would say after we had that marathon, things ran a lot smoother. After we had that 17 volumes and 2 months marathon. Because everything was, by then, very compartmentalized and was running, humming like a machine. So you'll find that after the 3rd canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, there are very few such mistakes. But in the first 3 cantos, quite a few. And not just in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Even in transcribing Prabhupada's morning walks, the classic one I like to use, Prabhupada was walking with some devotees, and some devotees were getting too close to Prabhupada. Very close. So Prabhupada said, don't come near. But if you listen to the transcription, if you read a transcription from that morning walk, whoever transcribed it said, don't come here. Which is not what Prabhupada said. He obviously wanted his disciples there. He was talking to them. He didn't say, don't come here. He said, don't come near. But the person who was transcribing didn't hear properly. So we have quite a few mistakes like that. Now, a lot of them were caught, but not all of them. Some of them actually made it into the books. So in today's purport, was it a transcription error? Whatever, I don't know. Now, there's another controversy. Some devotees say, even though it may be an error of transcription, don't change it. And there's the other camp that says, Prabhupada said, I want my books polished to the highest standard. So if we find mistakes like that, we should change it. I'm not going to get into that, but I'm just saying there are those two camps are there. Don't change. Then there's a third camp that says, yes, make the change, but make an annotation so that people read it later on. But then you have a book full of annotations all over the place. So one solution, obviously, is always keep the original books as they are with mistakes and all. So that's kind of what the BBT is doing. Like, for instance, you can find we publish and sell the Macmillan Gita with all its mistakes. There's another camp, though, that takes that Macmillan Gita and makes a few changes and still sells it as the unchanged Gita, which is cheating. What do they change? One of the transcriptions, the mistake was when Prabhupada said Pitri, they said planet of the trees instead of Pitri. So the original Macmillan Gita has planet of the trees, but somebody took that and changed that and a few other things that they thought should be changed. Who knows how many? I don't know. And they still sell it as the unchanged Gita. That's not nice. That's not correct. If you're going to sell the unchanged Gita, it has to be the Macmillan Gita with all its errors. Cattle ranching instead of cow protection. That was in the Macmillan Gita as one of the qualities of the Vaishya. Give him a mic. Give him the other mic.
Documented. So Prabhupada gave authorization to have corrections made in the book. We can show that to people.
Yes. Yeah, that's why I said I didn't want to get into it because you can argue back and forth till the cows come home. But the point is, though, the point I was making is that there is this discrepancy today between the purport that we've read and the one that Prabhupada has in the Bhagavad Gita and elsewhere, not just that one verse. So how do we understand it? Like I said, it may not Prabhupada actually could have said that. We'd have to find the original transcript if it exists for that particular verse and purport. Or we can assume that it was a mistake made by the transcribers. I don't know. But we should understand, though, that there are five working senses, five knowledge-acquiring senses. The mind is considered to be the 11th sense, if you're going to talk about senses. Or it's included with the subtle senses, ego, intelligence, and mind. So then you wouldn't say 11 senses. You would say 10 senses plus the 3 subtle senses. So all in all, you get to 24. And above all of that is the Supreme Lord who is the controller of time. As he says in the Bhagavad Gita, Indriyani Paranyahu, Indriyeva Paramana, Manasastu Parapudi, Yobude, Paratastusa. That the senses are superior to dull matter. Above the senses are the mind. Above the mind is intelligence. And he, the soul, is above all of that. Unfortunately, again, we don't realize that. We're body conscious, as Prabhupada also says in today's verse. All the way up to Satyaloka, there's this body consciousness. So we have to get out of this body consciousness before death comes. And this is stated very clearly in the second canto, first chapter, very, very important chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam. I mean, the entire Srimad Bhagavatam is important, but this particular, because it's after the end of the first canto, Parikshit Maharaj has asked this question, what is the duty of somebody who's about to die? So in that first chapter of the second canto, Shukadeva Goswami starts to answer those questions. And that first chapter is called The First Steps in God Realization. It's very, very important. So there's one verse, verse 15, where it says, Antakale cha purusha agate gata sarvasya chindyat asanga shastrena spriham deha nuye cha tam. Antakale, if you look up that phrase together, those two words together in the Veda base, occurs a lot of times. Anta means end, kale. So that the end of time. Every one of us has our individual antakale. And it's not always at age 100. For some persons, it's not even 100 minutes. They come out of the womb practically. They die immediately. So every one of us, antakale, before that time comes, Shukadeva Goswami was informing Maharaj Pariksit, one has to become unafraid of dying. No fear of death. Antakale Chapurusha. Okay. Chinyad Asanga Shastra. You have to cut off all attachments to the body and everything related to the body, meaning all family, friends, society, all of this stuff. You got to cut off all of that. And all desires thereof. Because since we think we are these bodies, we constantly generate desires based on the body. I want to go here, meaning I want to take my body there. I want to eat this. I want to drink that. I want to see this. I want to see that. Everything related to the body. Everything related. So all of that has to be cut off before that final moment comes. And that final moment will come. We can't cruise through life thinking that it won't come. Just like we mentioned Martin Luther King. Got up, it looked like any other day. Went out, didn't come home. Somebody assassinated him. So every one of us has to face that antakale, that final moment. And what is your consciousness going to be? That's the whole training that we're going through here. How to train the consciousness to be fixed on Krishna. Fixed on Krishna. And by understanding, to the best of our ability, these scientific presentations of the Bhagavatam in terms of time, space, that helps us to act to break our attachment here. To break our attachment to our body, our city, our country, our planet. That's not ours. That's the first thing. That's a crazy person. That's a crazy thought. Crazy consciousness thinking that it's not even our body. It doesn't belong to us. It's given kind of like a rental unit, an apartment for a few years. And it's just like if you become too attached to something that you're renting, whether it's a car, an apartment, whatever piece of land, you're going to be in trouble when the landlord finally comes and says, hey, I'm sorry, you know, you're going to go. It happened right here in this blog in a very severe way. Savas wasn't here yet. This was in his early 70s. This was the first, these two buildings were the first thing that we acquired in 1970, the church and the rectory next door. But then after that, gradually we started buying up everything going on the block. So we bought one apartment across the street there, and it was occupied. And the notice came to the, you know, residents that they had to leave. But one guy was so attached to his apartment, he committed suicide in the apartment. He didn't want to leave. So he killed himself. So that's how attached we can become to an apartment. He was more attached to the apartment than to his own body. He killed himself just because he didn't want to move. So we need to cut off all attachments, as that verse says, to this body. Everything related to the body means so-called brother, sister, father, mother. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, no, you're not really related to these people. It's just like you go down to the river, and he lived near the Jalangi, and he had his thing there. You can see in any river or the ocean, so much, they call it flotsam and jetsam. All these little things that float on the ocean. Sometimes they come together and they make a raft and they seem like they're... And then again, a big wave comes and smashes it. So that's the same thing with us as human beings or as in any species. Because this caring for family is not just in the human life form. Some animals, they care for their offspring up to the point of death. In other words, they'll put their own life on the line to protect their offspring. Many human beings won't do that. Either son or daughter or mother, father in trouble. It's like, police, help, 911. They themselves won't put their lives on the line to protect their offspring or relatives. So life is like that. We're just here for a little amount of time, floating along, making these connections, and then they break again and we go our separate ways. But Shukadeva Goswami immediately told Pariksit, don't be attached to your body or to anything that's produced by this body or any desires related to this body. Just fix your mind on Krishna. So we'll stop here. Granta Rashmi Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Gaur Bhaktivinoda Ki Jai.